Are you tired of these fancy meal prep companies offering you meals you'd never eat, but at the same time too embarrassed to Uber Eats McDonald's? Introducing Red Apron, a fast food delivery service disguised as meal prep. Just order your favorite fast food, then our drivers will pick it up, drop it in a pretentious box, and leave it at your door. Finally, look healthy and trendy on the outside, yet still be a lazy slob on the inside. Be honest. Do you want to return home from a long day's work to vegan shawarma with tzatziki hummus and beet salad? No, you don't. Sign up for Red Apron today and get back to eating what you really want. We'll even change the names of your favorite fast food dishes so you can feel better about yourself while eating it. A Big Mac meal becomes a sear-sizzled beef on a poppy seed-raised yeast roll with sun-ground lettuce and chopped onion with vinegar-preserved cucumber and precision-cut potato spears. A Crunchwrap Supreme and a Mountain Dew becomes ground beef with basil rounds, romaine leaves, and cultured cream wrapped in fresh shell tortilla with a beverage of field corn and cane-extracted carbonated water and orange juice. Let's face facts. Assembling prepackaged food with a step-by-step instruction guide doesn't make you a cook. It makes you good at following directions. You're hungry. The last thing you want to do when you get home from work is IKEA your dinner together. We'll even send you photos so you can post on Instagram so your followers will think you're more healthy than you actually are. Think about how good you'll look to your neighbors when they see a meal prep box that holds a swine-topped flatbread with tomato basil spread and coagulated milk casein. And think about how good you'll feel pulling out a hot pepperoni pizza. It's time to take your life back and start eating like you deserve. Red Apron, like Blue Apron, but with food you'd actually eat.
Yeah, I love that video. Hey, we're continuing our series today called Poison. We started off a couple of weeks ago talking about complaining, and then last week we talked about criticism. Hasn't this been a fun series so far? Today, we're going to talk about lying. We're going to talk about deception, deceiving. We're just going to talk about putting a fake impression out to other people. We're going to talk about exaggerated, you know, taking things and building them up bigger than they really are, bigger, better, you know, longer, or in some cases, we make them out to be worse than they ever were. Deception. I want to ask you a question. It's going to be really hard, but I need you to be honest. By a show of hands, how many of you would say that you have told a lie in the last 24 hours? Pastor Nicole can't decide. Hey, leave your hand up for just a minute. If you say, yeah, I've done some type of deception. I posted something on Facebook that wasn't quite true. I hold your hand up for just a minute, and I want you to look around at the other people who aren't holding their hand up. They just lied, okay? No. Here's the fact. The studies show us that the average person actually lies about 4 times a day. And when I say lie, I mean a deception. I mean not telling the whole truth, right? I mean that for a lot of people, exaggerating and blowing something up to make yourself out to be maybe more important and bigger or better than you really are. I just turned 57 this week, and I'm finding that the older I get, the old football stories I have from when I played in grade school and junior high and early in my high school years, the stories have grown bigger. You know what I mean? I mean, I didn't just intercept that pitch and immediately tackled. I ran back almost for a touchdown now. It's incredible. So anyway, some of you who are fishermen, you know my grandpa was a fisherman. And in the morning, the story went from here to there, okay? But by the time we saw Mama in the evening, it was up here somewhere. That's how big that fish was. So anyway, that's what happens to us. Here's some statistics. By the age of 4, 90% of children have learned the concept of lying. Studies show that 60% of adults cannot have a 10-minute conversation without lying at least once. And within those 10 minutes, the average of 3 lies were told. So if you hung out for 10 minutes in the foyer with some, well, we won't talk about that. Anyway, you want to know who gets lied to the most? This probably won't surprise you. 86% of parents, 75% of friends, 73% of siblings have been lied to, 69% of spouses. Everyday lying, 12% of adults admit to telling a lie often or sometimes. 80% of women, I didn't make this study up, somebody else did. 80% of women admit to telling harmless half-truths occasionally to one another. 31% of people admit to lying on their resumes. You know about that, Lyle, right? 32%, no, Lyle didn't do it. He has his own business. Okay, really? Anyway, I think. Anyway. 32% of patients stretch the truth to their doctor. Men, we do it all the time. And 13% outright lie to their doctor. 30% lie about their diet and exercise regimens. I worked out 3 times this week, okay? And about 5 minutes apiece. So anyway, lying is considered more common among phone calls than lying face-to-face, so we'll do it when we're not face-to-face and making eye contact, but we'll do it on the phone. 10% of lies are just exaggerations. Those are preachers. And 60% of those are outright deception. 70% of liars claim they would tell their lies again. Now, why do we lie? This is a survey in our culture. This is not anything biblical, but I think these things are true. I'll put these up. The common reasons for lying are to save face. I don't want to be embarrassed, right? Shift blame. I don't want to take account for, I don't want to get punished for that. I don't want to be accountable for that. Avoid confrontation. Some of you who avoid confrontation at all costs, come on, you know sometimes you lie because it's more important to you to avoid a confrontation than it is to tell the truth. It gets in one's way. That's self-explanatory, I think. Some of us lie to be nice. Your wife says to you, honey, does this dress make me look slim? Yes. Yes. Always yes, right? We never lie, ladies. Well, okay. Anyway, now when you ladies ask, does this make me look skinny? You're going to wonder what your husband, if he says yes, you're going, shut up, I shouldn't have asked you. And so, to make yourself feel better, sometimes we lie to make ourselves feel better. And this is having an impact on our culture today. Because we live in a culture of deception. We live in a culture of branding. We live in a culture where you got to get up ahead of the news story and you've got to, you know, you got to tell your story. We live in a culture where the term fake news has been popularized. Did you see all the deaths in the Dominican? Did you hear what the Dominican government came back with the other day? It was inevitable. I knew it was going to happen. The Dominican Republic says that all those deaths are just fake news. Yes, I know. But that's the culture we live in. We live in a culture where our politicians lie, where we're more concerned about branding, where we're more concerned about getting out ahead of a story so we can control it. We have a news media, let's just face it, that sometimes, you know, the facts, they insinuate things to get a story. It's getting to the point where you can't trust anybody or anything that you hear or anything even that you see. Authority and trust has been so undermined in institutions that we used to have confidence in that, quite frankly, you don't know what to believe. In an era of Facebook and social media, people put their truth out there. We live in a culture of deception. We live in a culture of lying. And I got to tell you something. As a church that's out there in the world, we're out in the world, we're influenced by that. We do that. It encourages us to do that. It pulls us along into it. It's so hard anymore to know what's fact and what's opinion. And so we'll take things that we think, that we don't know, but that we think, and we'll say that's the truth when it's a lie. We know that God says not to lie, right? It's one of the Ten Commandments. I learned that when I was a kid. But how do you think God really feels about lying? Well, let me show you for a minute. Proverbs 12:22 says this, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy." Now, that Hebrew word for detest that's there, it comes from a word that means something disgusting, an abhorrence, abomination, something that makes one nauseous. So when we lie, we make God sick, nauseous. He detests lying lips. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read this whole five verses to you to set some context. It's great stuff, really rich. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. He's been talking about some things they've been doing, and he says, but that's not the way you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. And instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. The reason I wanted to read all those verses for you is get to understand this is crucial to the Christian, that we be truth tellers. It's not just an appendage. It's not, oh, it's one of the Ten Commandments. No, this is for Paul. He whittles it all down to the bottom. He says, look, go back to that scripture for just a second. Stop telling lies. You've got to do that. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we're all part of the same body. It's essential to being a follower of Jesus to be a truth teller. Somebody said, you may never be more like the devil than when you're telling lies. And I think Jesus would agree with that statement, because in John 8:44, he says this, for you are the children of your father the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He's always hated the truth. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. You remember in the Garden of Eden, what did he do? He tricked Eve. How? By lying to her, distorting truth. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Lies are the devil's language. It's the devil's language. And I think it's one of the reasons probably that God hates it so much, he detests it, is that when we lie, we're talking devil talk. We're talking his language. He's the spiritual enemy. He's the prince of darkness. He's the great deceiver. And his number one weapon in your life and mine is to deceive us and to lie to us, while Jesus is the truth. And the Bible says, and Jesus said, that it's the truth that sets us free. The devil's a liar, and he uses the lies to take our freedom away from us. So let's talk for just a minute. I want to show you briefly, what's the enemy's plan when it comes to lying in our lives? What's the devil's plan? When he speaks his native tongue to coerce us away from the truth of Jesus, he uses his greatest weapon, the lie. What is he trying to accomplish? Well, first of all, there's this. Satan wants to get you to lie. He wants you talking his language. I mean, at the very foundation of his strategy, if he can get you to lie, you and him are talking the same language. It could be something as simple as exaggerating a story to make yourself feel better. It could be cheating on a test. It could be lying about where you were. Man, I did that when I was a teenager really bad. My wife has broken me of it somewhat. And it might be partial truths. You know, you're not telling everything. You're telling the story in a way that makes you look better. It might be saying things like, well, you know what? Then I said to her, you know what, girl, don't you talk like that to me. And you go like, so did you really say that? No, but I said it in my head. I just flexed my muscles and he ran away. I've used that one a time or two. Anyway, but see, that kind of exaggeration, that kind of manipulation of truth, it's amazing how often, because of our sinful nature, we choose to speak the devil's language, how easy it is for him to get us to lie. I want to show you this. We'll show it on the screen, that next one. You can't really read it, but you can kind of see the picture there. This came from Facebook. This guy posted this picture of himself snowboarding, right? And he says on the Facebook, he says, just got back from Colorado, has amazing trip and shredded the mountains every day. Attempted my first egg flip. Pictured, didn't land it, but the pic my buddy took is still amazing. Can't wait to go back. And then there's some comments under there. And then you see the one where there's some other pictures there. Here's what that guy wrote. He said, dude, that photo is from a 2012 calendar. And he shows the pics on the calendar, including that one, and literally the first photo on a Google image search. He said, you are so full of something that I cannot say from the pulpit. So anyway, that guy got caught, man, putting that kind of stuff on Facebook. Over what? Making everybody think he's a cool guy, had a great time on vacation. That's how easily our pride, our ego can entice us into telling lies. We laugh about that, but the tragedy is that, man, there are some easy ways that Satan sometimes tempts you and I to not tell the truth. And we laugh about it maybe four times a day, according to the surveys, and we speak the devil's language. The first thing he wants to get you and I to do is he wants to get us to lie, even little white lies. Somebody told me this week, so yeah, you know, little white lies are okay. I, you know what? I've looked in the Bible. I don't see the word white and lie put together anywhere in the Hebrew, the Greek, or any other translation. Sometimes we use that to make ourselves feel better. And I'm not here to debate it, except that I think what I'm trying to say is to you is that sometimes we lower the bar and say, it's okay for me to not tell the truth here. And if you do that often enough, guess what? The bar disappears. So I don't know where the bar is for you, but it ought to be kept high. Because the devil, number one, wants to get you to lie. And then the devil gets you to lie to yourself when he's got you going there. What do? You start to rationalize your lies. You might even double down on your lies, right? Because we all know you tell one lie, you got to tell another to cover that one up and cover that one up. And pretty soon, you know what happens is you tell so many lies that you believe the lie. You can't even remember what the truth was, you know? I mean, if I don't really fix my head very good as I get older, when I intercepted that pitch in the backfield during a football game and they immediately tackled me, if I don't remember that they immediately tackled me, if I tell that story that I ran it back 60 yards to the goal line, I'll start forgetting. See, when you tell enough lies, you start to live a lie, starting to lie to yourself all the time. I'm not hurting anybody. It's not my fault. You know, I can't help it. Kind of rationalize our own sinfulness. We're not just lying to others, but we start lying to... King David did this once. Do you remember that in the Old Testament? I mean, this is my version of events, but you can check it out in your Bible. Right, he thought he was kind of above the rules. He wasn't at war with his men like he should have been, and so he's lounging around one night on his rooftop where it was cooler. I get that after yesterday. And he saw this woman bathing naked on her roof, which... it's not that unusual because it was supposed to be private, but David had a higher porch from which to watch. And he told his servant to go get her, and he brought the woman to David. Her name's Bathsheba. He committed adultery with her, and then she got pregnant. And he had to cover it up, and so he brought Uriah, her husband, home from the front, and hoping that he would go home and sleep with her, and then everybody would think that the baby was hers and not his. And Uriah was an honorable man, and with his men out in the field, he didn't go home to sleep with his wife. And so David got frustrated, and so in order to cover up what he had done, he sends him with a note for the commander to put him in the front line where he'll be killed, and that's exactly what happens. And then David marries Bathsheba and takes her into his home. But you know what? As much as we try to cover over our lies, God knows, doesn't he? So God sent the prophet Nathan to Daniel, and basically Nathan said, I got a story for you. Once upon a time, there was a very rich and powerful man who had more wealth than anybody. He had more cattle than anybody. He had more herds than anybody than you could even imagine. And there was a very poor man who had only one little lamb. That little lamb was the most precious thing in his life. It was the highest thing of value that he owned. And one day a hungry person came to the rich guy's house, and instead of killing one of his own animals, he went to the poor guy's house and took his lamb from him and killed that lamb so that he could feed the hungry guy in his house. And David heard the story, and he's furious. He burned with anger, the Bible says. That's the worst thing I've ever heard. You need to bring this man to me. That rich man should be put to death. He ought to pay for this. Who is this guy? And Nathan looked at him, and he said in Hebrew, Ata Ish, which means you are the man. And David realized, man, God knows about my deception. I thought I covered my tracks, but God knows. And some of you today, let me warn you before the service is over, the Spirit may say to you, Ata Ish, you're the man, or Ata Isha, you're the woman. You're the one who's been lying to others. You're lying to yourself. You've deceived others because you're living apart from God. What does our enemy want to do? He wants us to speak his native language. He wants to get you and I to lie, and then he wants to get us to live that lie. He wants you and I to begin to believe it, because that's the last thing. He gets you to live a lie. I've got my points all messed up there. Don't pay attention to that right now. He gets us to not only lie, but he gets us to believe the lie, and then he gets us to live the lie. To claim one thing, but to be something entirely different. Obviously, this isn't all of you, but for some of us, it's all of us. When we start living a lie, it becomes real easy for you and I to forget what's the truth about me. Because you see, here's the thing. If you may be a Christian guy, and you may come to church, and everybody thinks that you've got it all together spiritually, that you're this holy person, and then when you get home, you're a raging porn addict. Because all the surveys show us that about, I was in a meeting the other day, and the guy had us raise our hands of how many of us had looked at porn within the last 72 hours. He said, according to surveys, it's like 75% of all men. It's all around us. So you put on this front at church, but then you go home and you're something completely different. Or you know what, ladies? And by the way, porn is not just about men. There are a lot of women who are addicted to porn. It's one of the greatest segments of pornography that's growing is towards women. So sometimes, right? Sometimes we come to church and we act all holy and we're righteous and we're good. And then, man, the things that come out of our mouths during the week, the gossip that flows. You know, we on Facebook, we show this perfect life, you know, on Instagram. And, man, look here, I got these new clothes. Here's my vacation. Everything's great. But in reality, you deal with depression and feelings of meaninglessness every day of your life. You might be a Pinterest mom to somebody else. They match. Everything's homemade. You're right. You get on Pinterest. Somebody's perfect life, right? But inside, they feel empty and desperate and alone. It might be in your community group that everybody thinks that you have the perfect marriage, but the reality is when you go home, you don't even sleep in the same bed. You fight most of the week. But when you go to community group, you're good. You're good. You might be a pillar of the church. People ask you to pray for them. You have a reputation of being a person of faith on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of fear and doubt and hopelessness and anger and bitterness and pride. People think you're a follower of Jesus, maybe for some of us, but the reality is our hearts are hard as a brick towards God. See, the devil wants us to tell lies, and the devil wants us to believe our lies, and the devil wants us ultimately to live a lie. And this is one of my greatest fears as a pastor. The devil is the deceiver, and what I'm really afraid of is that many of us get deceived into believing that we are a Christian when we may not be at all. That we would go to church every now and then, and you know, we're not a Muslim and we're not a Buddhist, and so we must be a Christian because most of America is Christian, according to all the surveys, like 80% of us. Forget that our values don't match that, but we identify as Christian. And that's my whole thing, is that we would identify as Christian, but we wouldn't really be followers of Jesus. I keep telling them, God, please don't let me shepherd people who don't recognize that we have a need for Christ every single day. John said this in 1 John 2:4, and we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commands. If someone claims I know God but doesn't obey God's commands, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. If there's no obedience, if there's no life change, if there's no fruit, we're not saved by our works, right? We're saved by grace, but there's fruit. The Bible says, Galatians 5, you should go read it. It talks about the fruit. Is there fruit in your life? Is there fruit in my life? When we know God, we're different. And it's not enough to just say, I know God, but we have to resemble Christ. We don't do what he commands, then that person, the Bible says, is a liar. And the truth is not in them. On the other side of it, too, is the other kind of deception we sometimes live into, is that we do great things for God, but our hearts are so hard, we become full of self-righteousness. This passage has haunted me since I was a little boy, to be honest with you. Matthew 7, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Just read that sentence, that not everybody who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. That's haunting. But you see, it's not found in what we do. We don't make ourselves right, right? It's not found in all these righteous things that I do. What it boils down to is, in my heart, do I trust in Jesus and the righteousness that he, not in my own works, but in trusting in him? See, because that's why we can't. If I'm a follower of Jesus and I fail to love, and if I cause division in the body, if I hang on to anger and jealousy and strife and pride and unforgiveness, that even though you may have done great things in his names, I'm not going to be welcome. Because he's going to say, you didn't really know me. If you think it's about going to church and you think it's about all these things that you did, it's about something more than that. It's about a transformed heart. It's about how you love your neighbor. It's about how you what you do to the least of these. And the reason I'm so aware of all this is, let me tell you, that was me, okay? I grew up in the church. I joined the church at like 7, 8 years old. I joined the church. That's just crazy. But, you know, I joined the church. I was baptized when I was 12. I grew up in the church. But, man, when I got to be a teenager, man, I put on a front. I should get an acting award. Because on Sunday morning, you guys are righteous. I didn't sit where you were. I was back there. I was back there where Jimmy's sitting. Only I would have had I'd have my arm around Sharon if I was you as a teenager. So, yeah, there you go. Okay. That's where I sat with my girlfriend in the back. I was there on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, because I had to be. But during the week, I lived like the devil. I mean, I lived like the devil. I ran with people I shouldn't have run with. I did things I couldn't do, I shouldn't have done, but I put on the act. Nobody knew. Precious little Brian, he's such a good kid. But there was no spiritual fruit. No spiritual fruit whatsoever. You done a fruit inspection lately? Not on somebody else, on you. See, our big deal is we ought to inspect our own fruit. Some of us get so busy inspecting everybody else's, we forget to check our own. And there's junk rotten in there because we haven't had peace since 1964. We haven't had joy. Nobody, we go around with that scowl on our face all the time. We haven't had joy in 30, 40 years. That's piece of fruit rotted a long time ago. God is really good at delivering fresh fruit, okay? Fresh fruit is what he wants us to have. How's your fruit? Quit inspecting everybody else. We need to check our own self. Am I living a lie? Am I really a follower of Jesus? And am I really bearing fruit? Or am I faking everybody out? Because all that stuff that we had about why we lie is true, right? Sometimes we don't want to get blamed. We don't want to be under conviction. We want to get away with things. We want to control things, you know. But here's the big thing. You want to know why a lot of us lie? Because we don't trust God. Because here's the thing. If I have to tell a lie to you to protect myself, if I have to tell a lie to you to get what I want, if I have to tell a lie to you to achieve what I want to achieve, then I'm not trusting in God. I'm trusting in my ability to lie. Man, you're quiet this morning. I have to trust in my ability to manipulate the truth so you don't catch on to me. That is the furthest thing from trusting in God. And what are we supposed to do as followers of Jesus? What are we supposed to do as sanctified folk? We're supposed to trust in God. And that means if I get caught, I need to own up to it and trust God will take care of me in the midst of it. That I need to tell the truth so that I have to trust God that my wife's going to forgive me. I just have to tell the truth and trust my parents are going to trust me again. I have to tell the truth and just hope that my kids are going to believe me again. But I got to tell the truth because why? I trust God. And truth, see, lies bring bondage. Jesus says in John 8:32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Free. Lies bring bondage. The truth brings freedom. Satan wants us to lie so he can put the handcuffs on us. But if we will confess to God, he will forgive us. 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If I confess to God, He'll cleanse me. He'll forgive me. And the separation that I feel, he will. The separation that I feel between him when I lie, instead, when I ask for forgiveness, I will feel no separation between me and him. And instead, what he'll separate me from is the lie, because he'll throw it away as far as east is from the west. He already knows I've sinned. You know that? You aren't tricking God. You're not fooling him. Man, I lived all those teen years thinking nobody knew. God knew. God saw. You see, for you and I, what we have to do is confess. And if we confess to God for forgiveness, here's the thing. This is where we usually stop. A lot of us will say, well, I asked God to forgive me. But you know what? Here's the thing. We confess to God for forgiveness, but there's a second layer of confession. And this is why we go to community groups. Because we don't just confess to God for forgiveness, but we confess to people for healing. Stay with me right now. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And some of us let that rest with our cancer. And some of us let that rest with some physical impediment or something that the doctor diagnosed on us. But the reality is, what he's saying to us is we confess our sins to one another. I confess to others that I've lied. I confess to others that I'm not telling the truth. Then all of a sudden, not only have I asked God to forgive me, but now I receive healing from being a part of the body of Jesus. And confessing to one another. And we are so bad about that. We holiness folk are really bad about it, right? Because we got saved, sanctified, and petrified. And so we're not supposed to sin anymore. And so we're afraid. We're afraid to be open and honest. And it's one of the things that's causing the younger generation to not believe in holiness anymore. Amen. Is the petrification that some of us think, I got sanctified, I can't sin. Oh, yes, you can. Somebody told you wrong, because that is what the book says. And we need to be humble, and we need to recognize, and we need to say, you know what, I was wrong. And if we're wrong, we need to recognize and say it so that God can forgive us and so that we can reach out to one another so we can be healed. That's what the Bible says. And there's some of you right now, you're sitting here and maybe you've been telling lies. Maybe you're carrying a lie. Maybe there's something in your life. I will say this. If there is something in your life that you're hiding from other people and you don't want anybody else to know, you would be embarrassed if your wife knew what you looked at. Or you would be embarrassed if your husband knew that you did that. Or you would be embarrassed, you would let your children down if they knew about that secret. Or if there would be something that you would say, man, I don't want my parents to find out because they might disown me. If there's something you're hiding, I don't want my community group to know because they think I'm this. I got to hold that reputation up. No, you don't. That's a lie of the enemy. Because the greatest thing that could happen is that you confess to others in your community group and you not only got forgiveness from God, but you got healing from them. That's what makes us stronger. The kingdom doesn't go to those who hide the most. It goes to those who confess. Confess to him and confess to one another. That's the kingdom. I got news for you. We're going to stand one day before God. And none of your fake news is going to hold up. Because he knows. He knows. And you're not going to be able to bullhorn your way out of it. And you're not going to be able to tell another lie. The worst thing you could do is stand before the judgment seat and try to lie. God knows, and what God wants us to do, and what I'm saying to you this morning, I know all that sounds really heavy, but it's all to say this. When we live in a culture of lies, we need to be people of the truth. Because I think of people who tell the truth. I think of people who are bound in the truth, who are free from the lies, who are free from the bondage that it brings. That's appealing to people in our culture. That we tell the truth and we love in truth and we heal one another in truth. And if you confess to me that there's a lie, I'm not going to throw rocks at you and I'm not going to go gossip to you. I think we're talking about gossip next week, so I know it's going to be a low-attended Sunday. But anyway, but instead what we're going to do is we're going to lift each other up. I want to be a part of a people who will lift me up so that when I fail and I said, man, I'm screwed up and I did wrong, people are going to say, you know what? I forgive you and let's pray for you and let's bring healing into your life. That's the kind of church that'll grow these days, in a culture that brings condemnation, in a culture that lies. That's the kind of people I want to be. Jesus wants you to experience truth, and he wants you to be free. The enemy wants you to be in bondage. Bondage or freedom, lies or truths. When you know the truth will set you free. May we live in the truth. I want to ask you this morning to stand with me, because I want us to pray together, and I want to pray for us. I want you to pray with me, and then I'm going to ask you to do something in just a moment. So let's bow our heads and talk to God this morning. Father, you know the truth about me this morning. And here's the incredible thing that we sung about this morning, is that even though you know the truth about me, you love me. That even though I have failed, and even though I have stumbled, and even though I've hidden from the rest of the world who I am and what I am and what I've done, you still love me. You still reach out to me. God, thank you for this enormous and immense love. God, thank you. I'm undeserving. I know I can't be good enough for it. I know I don't earn it. I know it comes by grace and grace alone. And I am thankful for that grace this morning. Would you give me grace right now? God, will you look into my heart and just highlight, is there a lie in me? Have I told a lie? Have I believed a lie? Am I living a lie? God, will you look deep down inside me? I confess it to you this morning. I want to be honest and real. I don't want to have to be one thing one place and another thing another place, because I'm protecting, I'm projecting, I'm trying to make people think I'm something I'm not. God, forgive me for the lies in my life. Lord, bring healing to me. I don't want to, help me to live a life of truth grounded in Jesus Christ. I don't want to trust the manipulations that come out of my mouth, but I want to trust Jesus today. Help me every time I start to tell an untruth. Will you help me to remind myself to trust in Jesus and not the lie I can tell, not what I can hide, not what I can bury. God, I want to trust in you. Help me to do that. Will you remind me every time I'm tempted, every time the great deceiver comes around and tries to get me to pray, to say his language and to speak his words, may I instead speak your truth about who I am and what I am in you, and allow you to protect me and guide me and lead me. And God, will you help me to find healing? Here's what I want us to do this morning. I know this is going to be uncomfortable. If you're new, it's very uncomfortable. I just want you to find three or four people around you. Could you just turn around and find some people around you? You don't have to hold hands. You don't have to touch one another, but I want us to clump together. And I would really like for nobody to be alone this morning, okay? So just find some folks, and we're just going to pray for one another, and we're not going to pray out loud, and you don't have to confess anything to anybody. I just want us to pray for one another this morning. So find somebody. Find nobody by themselves, nobody alone. Everybody with someone. Everybody got somebody? All right, pray with Father. I pray for my friends that stand around me. There may be some people here I don't even know. And I don't know this morning what's going on in their lives, but God, I pray for them that this morning, as they have asked, and maybe they've prayed and asked God to help them to shake off the lies, would you give healing into their lives? We're told to confess to one another and pray for one another. So Lord, just right now, I'm just praying. I'm praying for these people that I'm surrounded with right now. So God, I would just pray that you would that you would bring healing to their lives, that you would let them know that like me, I pray that all of us would feel like we have people here we can talk to. We're part of the body of Jesus Christ. And while somebody may not be a member here, maybe somebody's here for the first time, that Lord, we do love one another around here. And that this week we're going to pray for one another. I'm going to pray for these people that are gathered around me today, that they'll be truth tellers in their world, that they'll know the protection that Jesus Christ can bring into their hearts and lives, and that we'll all together depend on him this week, so that in our world and our culture of deceit, in our world and our culture, all the fake news, that God will be able to stand up and say, we've got good news. We believe in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that he gives, and because of him, we can stand tall. Because the truth has set us free, and the truth can set you free. Help the people in my circle right now, God. Would you just set them free today? May we all together know the freedom that comes in Jesus Christ. And may we go out into this world to lift high our God who saves, our God who loves, and the Holy Spirit that empowers us this week, that we might rely on him in every situation and every circumstance, that we might hold up the truth and it might set our world free this week. God, bless my neighbor. Bless my friend that's standing here with me. God, may we pray for one another this week, all week long, every day. Help us, Lord, to pray for one another so that together as the body, as the church, we'll go out into our world and we'll reflect the glory, we'll reflect the peace, we'll project the love of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. For we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to make sure you got everybody's name in your circle. It's real easy for the Snavelys here. That's good. And here's what we're going to do this morning. So here's what I want you to do. This week, every day, if you don't know somebody, ask them their name. That's not confidential information. I will say this. If someone asks for your Social Security number, let me know. That person could be a problem. So here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to go out into the world, and I want you to pray for one another this week. Church, we want to be truth tellers, don't we? I don't want to live in bondage to lies, and I don't want to live in bondage to deceit. Jesus has done something beautiful in your life, and he can do something beautiful in his life. Let's show it to the world, man. We trust in him and in him alone. We're going to sing this song, and then we're going to be dismissed this morning. Thanks for being here today. We got one more to go in this series. Could be gossip, could be bullying. I don't know. We'll just come back next week and see what God wants for us. But I hope you'll be back next week. Bring somebody with you if you can. And more, listen, this week, go out. I read the end of the book. We win in the end. Go out there and live like it, all right? Let's lift up this song today as our benediction and be dismissed. Have a great week.